Savior tonight. Thankful to be here tonight, be with you folks, and have enjoyed our day here, and want to continue to enjoy our night here. And I really appreciate you folks. I really do. Thank you very much. Y'all are the most loving church that we have seen in a while. I said today that y'all have something here that you don't see in a lot of churches. And my wife agreed with me on that. And I think you yourselves would agree with me on that. And what you've got here is you got a good sound foundation, a good sound church, and a body of believers that believes the Word of God, and your faith is settled upon that. And I see that in you. And you have a lot of love and care about you, and I just want to exhort you on that. And so whatever and however the pastor that used to be here, what he taught you the Word of God, I can tell you that. I can sense that. I can see it in you. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And keep it up. Keep it up. And this day and time, I can assure you, churches like this is few and far between. Really so. A body of believers like this. This really sticks to the stuff. Uncompromising. And I just exhort you for that. I congratulate you for that. If you will, tonight, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Corinthians chapter 3. Corinthians chapter 3. Brother Cooper, the song that you picked tonight as a congregational song couldn't have been no better. I'm serious. That is just awesome. Just wonderful how the Spirit of God moves like that. And could not have been a song picked any better. I'd like to say tonight, I told you this morning that I would give you a quote. It's actually an excerpt that Vance Havner wrote many, many years ago. And the title of it, "In Just Heartbeats from Heaven." He says, "I have often wondered why Christians are not more excited about the blessed truth that we are always on the verge of eternity, and that any moment our Lord may come or we may go." And that's the truth. I can understand why the non-Christian does not relish the thought. He or she is not ready for it and does not like to think about eternity and what it may hold for them. The worldling is drunk on his pleasures and abhors any thought of death or eternity. But why do so many who claim to be God's children take the prospect of heaven and eternal life as though it were a sort of a fairy tale? Or they just coldly dismiss it as nothing to get happy about now? We should be happy that we have eternal life, that heaven our home. And that's one of my points tonight in the message. Some of them, Christians, emphasize attending to our present business and letting the future be what it may. I know we are not to sit around and sit robed and waiting for some mountaintop for the Lord to rescue us. But the just be faithful attitude betrays a lack somewhere. The New Testament saints were ready and faithful, but they were also expectant. This is the only world we know, and there ought to be at least a sense of adventure. What I will be like 5 minutes after I die is so suspendous a matter that it boggles the mind. The next world will not be geared the same as this one. You ever thought about that? And there's no time there as well that we have to worry about. The plainest Christian knows more about that 5 minutes after he dies than all the scholars in all the colleges and seminaries. How cheap and worthless would appear the things that engross us so down here if heaven were taken out of the world of fantasy and made an imminent certainty. What a shakeup of values and a regrouping of the important and the unimportant. It would make us better workmen at our present job, shorten lonely hours, and smooth the bed of pain. The Apostle Paul had a desire to depart and be with Christ. Heavenly homesickness is normal to a Christian. Did you hear that? Heavenly homesickness is normal to a Christian. We should be homesick for that land that's waiting for us, for that home that is waiting for us. And I am surprised, Vance Havner continues, and I am surprised that I do not encounter more of it, of the homesickness. Here's a poor clod who is content to stay in kindergarten forever. He considers this earth, our walk right now, is just kindergarten compared to what heaven is like. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we have been told enough to brighten our eyes and quicken our step, and to make even living in this vale of tears exciting business, because it is an anteroom to heaven. Some Christians show more enthusiasm at a ball game or on the eve of taking a trip somewhere than soon to take off for heaven. If we could recover our pilgrim character, it might interest more earthly travelers in joining our happy throng. If tourism made trips abroad as dull as the saints think of the life to come, every travel agency, airlines, hotel across the world would go bankrupt. Christians are always just a few heartbeats from heaven. It ought to make a difference in our everyday life. How true that is. I like reading behind men like that of old because they were full of wisdom. I love that. And it's something that we lack nowadays across our country. But I want to go into our text here of Colossians chapter 3. And I'd like to preach to you tonight, heaven, a prepared place for a prepared people. A prepared place for a prepared people. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, with Christ, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, real quickly. Verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, dear God, my heart is glad to be able to stand behind your sacred desk and to preach and present and teach your precious word. the truth of it. Father God, we ask that you would help us get a greater understanding tonight of what home that's waiting for us, this home that you have prepared for us, this home that we'll spend eternity at. Father, we thank you and we love you, and we'll be certainly to give you all the glory, all the honor and the praise, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heaven, a prepared place for a prepared people. Heaven is a literal city. It's not fake. It's not a make-believe. It's not a fantasy world. It's a literal city. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, I touched on that just a little bit this morning, but it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And that Bible says mansions. All the false versions out there says many rooms. My friend, let me tell you something. If God was just going to give us a room, that's what he would have said. But he's going to give us a mansion, praise God. And then in verse 3 he says, "And if I go," and he did, "and prepare a place for you," and he has, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's what we got to look forward to, my brothers and sisters. That's what we got to look forward to. God has already promised what he's going to do for us. He's already promised what he's made for us, what he's prepared for us. And that's where we're going to go and spend all eternity with him and be there forevermore. You know, if he had not created and made all these things for us, if he hasn't already made a mansion for us, he wouldn't have told us that he had, you see. So everything he says is true, you see, and we can take that to the bank. Number one, I like to say what heaven is tonight. Heaven is a hidden place. It's a hidden place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, "And it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him, for them that love him." My friend, you know, we can get a glimpse, just a little glimpse from God's word and from the Spirit of God showing us in our mind's eye of what heaven, how good it must be, how wonderful it must be. You see, looking at the street of gold, my friend, I can only imagine what that looks like. But one day we will see it with our own eyes, you see. Right now, it's so like a hidden place to us. We can't see it, a full picture of it right now. Our eyes have not seen it. Our ears have not heard of all the glory that's going on in heaven right now, you see. All the wonderful shouting and the singing going on up there. My friend, let me tell you something. What a magnificent place heaven must be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." My friend, let me say something. We can see it. We can look at ourselves in the mirror and we see, we know what we look like. We know that we're real, you see, and so forth. But you see, one day we're going to see Jesus Christ face to face and we'll know what he looks like, you see. We'll know how wonderful he is, just like heaven, you see. Heaven is a hidden country and it's beyond the normal reach of our senses. God has given us five senses and we just cannot touch heaven with that. We can't see it or hear it. But by faith, we can see, we can feel in our hearts from God's word. Every time we read God's word, we see passages about what God has prepared for us, for them that love him, you see. What is waiting for us, you see. Oh, we can catch a glimpse of it from God's word. Well, you know, we can read books on heaven, but it's nothing like reading the Bible about heaven, because this book is alive, you see. And what is so real there in heaven, when we read it in this a book that is alive, then God makes it alive to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." That's a longing for heaven. Are we longing for heaven? Are we putting down deep grassroots here on this earth? I'm not. I don't want to put down no deep grassroots here on this earth. I'm just a stranger, a pilgrim, just passing through for just a short while, you see. Oh, if we live 70, 80 years or more, my friend, that is just a short, short little time compared to eternity, you see. Eternity. Oh my, how wonderful it is it's going to be. In the Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, you have Hebrews chapter 11 verse 10. If you will, turn with me over there, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. The Hall of Faith, I call it. Yet Abraham. Look there in verse 10 with me. Look at Abraham, what the Bible has to say about him. For he looked for. I underlined that in my Bible many years ago when I read that. I underlined those three words, he looked for. Because, you know, that's what we're looking for. We want to see heaven. We're longing for that. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for the things of this world. We're looking for heaven. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's the city I'm looking for, you see. It's not, I have no desire to go up there to see New York City. I've never wanted to go up there. A lot of people do. That's fine. But I don't have no longing for that. I don't want to see the grandeurs of this world and so forth. I want to see the grandeurs of heaven, you see. That's what my heart, that's what I'm looking for. In verse 11, or verse 13, you see there, these all died, talking about these saints of God that's been talking about there, and Abel and Enoch and Abraham and so forth. And it says that these, in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. They had not seen heaven. They had not seen Christ, you see. But they longed after God's heart. And they sought after God's heart. And they believed God's promises by faith, you see. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They too were looking for that city, you see. Not just Abraham, but others of that faith there, and so forth. And then in verse 14 through 16 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. If they'd have just kept their mind on the country where they came from, such as Abraham, called out of the Ur of Chaldees, if he'd have just kept his mind back there and his heart back there and kept for longing to go back there and return to that, then he would not have the faith increased of saying, I'm looking for a city built by God's own hands, you see. But see, his mind was stayed forward. His affections was set above, on the things above, you see, not on the things behind. And my friend, what's your affection set on today, you see? For they said, and truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country. That's what we're doing, ain't it? We're seeking after a better land and a better place. That is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. When God prepares us each and every day, if we'll let him. You know, every time you open up God's word, he's preparing you for heaven. Did you know that? Sometimes we think, well, it's just right now for the temporal to help us get through another day, and it is. He does. He helps us get through another day. But it's also to prepare us for the future, you see, and that heavenly place. Number two, heaven is a happy place. Amen? It's a happy place. It's a joyous occasion. And I'm going to tell you what makes heaven a happy place. I'm going to name a few things here. Number one, there is no sin there. And never will there be any sin there. Revelation, go back over there to chapter 21, if you will. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 8. The Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In verse 27 of that same chapter, and there shall in no wise enter into it, into heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the ones that will enter heaven. We are the ones that will inherit heaven, you see. That is our great inheritance. And I'm going to say this in Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. You know what that curse is? Sin. Sin is a curse. It's passed down upon man ever since Adam sinned there in the Garden of Eden. And it's been upon mankind ever since. But there'll be no more curse. There'll be no more sin there in heaven. Thank God we won't have to face that anymore, be tempted with it anymore, you see. Oh, my. And there shall be no curse, no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Yes, indeed. That's what we're going to do. Heaven is a happy place. Let me say this. Since there's no sin there, there's no devil there. There's no Satan there. If you'll turn over just a page there to Revelation chapter 20, the last mention in your Bible is in verse 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 of Satan. And it says, and the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for a while. Not for a while, huh? Forever. Forever. That means he'll never come out again. He'll never be able to come out and fight against God, nor tempt us, nor bother us anymore. He'll be doomed forever and forever in the lake of fire, you see. That's the last mention of him in the Bible, and thank God for it. Oh, heaven is a happy place. You see, if there was any inkling of sin there in heaven, it wouldn't be happy. It wouldn't be. What causes us unhappiness? Every time it's our flesh, isn't it? It's our flesh. We have to fight this flesh every day. The Bible says there's no good thing in this flesh. My friend, we have to war against this flesh every day. When we get up in the morning, it's always a good idea to begin our morning in prayer before your feet hit the floor. And my friend, it's a good idea to go ahead and start reading your Bible after you get up and get that cup of coffee going, my friend. Let me tell you something. Why? Because just for certain, your flesh is going to fight you, battle you, tempt you, try to ensnare you and trick you sometime at some point during the day. It's better to start it out with prayer and start it out with the Word of God, fighting a good fight of warfare, you see. And my friend, let me tell you something. Heaven is a happy place because there's no sin there. Then, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, the Bible says that for some years, as I was a young Christian and everything, this kind of puzzled me. What does it mean right there, Lord? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You realize in your Bible right there, in the book of Revelation, that's the first time that God says no more. No more sea. He starts beginning the list after that. I read them a while ago in our text. But he says, no more sea. And I often wonder, Lord? Well, you know what? Often in the Bible, the sea is a symbol of mystery. There'll be no more mysteries there. Right now, we look through a glass darkly. Right now, you know, thinking about the rapture we talked about this morning some, of going out of here, that's a mystery, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We don't fully understand how that's going to all happen, but by faith we believe it is. And know that it's going to happen. And can happen at any moment. But there is some mystery. But when we get to heaven, there is no more mystery, you see. No more sea, you see. And also, the symbol of sea there a lot of time is of evil. evil, of unrest, of being storm-tossed, and of restless nations and separation. That sea is a type of separation. It's a type of restlessness, you see, of being storm-tossed. See, all of that will be done away with. You won't have any more storms of life, my friend. It'll all be done away with. There'll be no more sea. There'll be no more restlessness in our hearts, in our minds, in our body. My friend, let me tell you something. Thank God. All these things we did be done away with, and there was no more sea. No more sea. This is why heaven will be a happy place. There are some more reasons why heaven is a happy place and will be a happy place when we get there. Well, the Bible says right there that there'll be no more death. No more death. I don't know about you, but I'm sure each and every one of you in here has lost loved ones through death. We all have. I have a mother and a father that's waiting on me up there. I have grandmothers, grandfathers waiting on me up there. I miss them so, but there'll be no more death up there. There'll be no more parting over there. See, this no more death signifies that there'll be no more heart attacks. There'll be no more strokes, no more diabetes. There'll be no more cancer, which, I mean, it has affected every family that I know of, that I've ever come in contact with. What an awful, awful disease and a destroyer of mankind. But there'll be no more of that, my friend, to face up there. There'll be no more funerals held in heaven. No more partying over there. There'll be no more wars, no more death. Then another one, there's no more sorrow. That's what makes heaven happy. There'll be no more sorrow there. That means there'll be no more heartbreaks by a spouse leaving. There'll be no more heartbreaks by a child going wayward and living off, going off into the world. Don't that break our hearts? We try to raise our children in the right way. Try to raise them according to God's word. Take them to church time and time again, every time the door is open. Try to live it in front of them. But yet then they'll allow the devil in their flesh to drag them off into the world. Get around the wrong crowd and all such as that. And it just breaks our heart, doesn't it? How many tears have you shed, my friend, because of a wayward child or a wayward grandchild, my friend? See, there'll be no more of that in heaven. There'll be no more world using and abusing you and trampling on you, my friend. There'll be no more broken homes. No more broken marriages. No more drunkards there. No more drug addictions there. Oh, my friend, there'll be no more sorrow there. Oh, there'll be no more crying there, the Bible says. No more crying. There'll be no more crying of family members, of things gone wrong. No more crying because of depression or because of anxiety, things that affects our hearts and our minds so strongly, you see. There'll be no more prisons over there. There'll be no institutions to be put in and placed in. There'll be no more broken hearts and no more hurt over there. That makes heaven worth waiting for, doesn't it? And my friend, let me tell you something. Oh, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, but there'll be no more pain there. No more pain. There'll be no more doctor visits, thank God. Amen. No more hospitals over there. No diseases, no aging. Thank the Lord for that. And then there'll be no arthritis, no more COVID-19, praise the Lord. It'll be over and done with, you see. Won't have to be quarantined anymore, praise God. Over in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 25 through 27, look out, look at something else, there'll be no more. Verse 25 and 27, the Bible says, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. We have to go home and lock our doors once we get in there, don't we? Lock ourselves in to protect ourselves from the harmful out there, from the evil that lurks about. But see, we'll not have to worry about that in heaven, you see. For all is rest and all is peace and all is joy and happiness over there. My friend, let me tell you, no more night there. The Bible says in verse 26, "And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." No more night there. That means there's no more darkness there, nor anything or anyone associated with the dark. You know, in heaven, there won't even be a shadow there. You know, we see when we walk in the light or walk out in the sunshine, we cast a shadow. I can see my shadow on the floor here from these lights above. In heaven, the light is so pure because Jesus is the light. And there'll be not even a shadow in heaven. No darkness there, you see, because a shadow is darkness, isn't it? So there won't even be a shadow cast in heaven. There'll be no gloom over there. No more terrors of the night. There'll be no thieves and no murderers. There'll be no vileness anymore, you see, no evil over there. Oh, and the Bible says there in chapter 21 that there'll be no more tears. No more tears. After God wipes them all away, one day He will. We'll cry our last teardrop, my friend. It'll be our last one when we get over there. God will wipe them all away. And I believe, as you read that scripture right there where it says, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things passed away. It says that God shall wipe away all tears. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, I wonder why you'll be crying in heaven. Yes, maybe you'll be crying over joy being there. But see, if you'll back up to Revelation chapter 20, there's the white throne judgment, where death and hell and every sea and everything else brings up the dead. And every person that's ever lived will stand before the white throne judgment of God. And they'll be judged out of the books that are open. And so, whosoever's name was not written in the Lamb's book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire, you see. And I admit, I have lost one, loved ones, kin people. And maybe you do too. That has died without receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. And you and I will stand there as they're brought before the judgment seat, the judgment of God, the white throne judgment, not the judgment seat of Christ, excuse me, but the white throne of judgment. And they'll give their opportunity to make excuses to God for rejecting His Son, Jesus Christ. But none of their excuses will hold water. None of them be able to contradict God or blame God, because He'll remind them of every time He gave them a chance to be saved. And as He reads to them their doom and gives them their final sentence of being cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, into that torment forever and forever, I am most assured that you and I will stand there and weep. We'll weep. We'll be safe. We'll be in our glorified body, a body such as Christ has. And we know we have eternal life. And we'll see the splendors of heaven. And we'll look around and say, this is what we have for eternity. But my lost loved one, is cast into the lake of fire forever. Yes, there will be tears shed there. But our loving Father is so great and wonderful. He's so kind and compassionate. I believe personally that the Lord Jesus Christ will come by us and He'll wipe our tears from our eyes, just like the Bible says. And He shall wipe away our tears, all tears, from their eyes. We won't have to reach up and wipe them away. He'll do that. And you know, when God does something, He does it permanent. Amen? It's forever. And when He wipes those tears from our eyes, we'll not shed anymore forever. Because I believe in His graciousness. At that time, at that point, we'll forget all those that has went to the lake of fire. We'll not be haunted by the memory of lost loved ones, you see. Because, see, heaven wouldn't be a happy place if we went through eternity dwelling on that, would we? You ever thought about that? So heaven's going to be a happy place when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wipes away all our tears. Heaven, it's a happy place. And there's no temple there, the Bible says. We won't need a mere building to remind us to worship. I'm sure, you know, when I pass by a church and my travels and so forth, I'm thinking about, you know, worshiping God. That's the place I can enter, although we can worship God in our vehicles, our homes, wherever we may be. But it's nothing like coming together collectively, is it? That's one thing that is so detrimental about this COVID-19. We had to close our churches down. Oh my, just wasn't the same to have to sit and listen to it via computer or whatever. But we won't need a building to remind us to worship. Worship will be an instinctive desire. It'll be a total response of our hearts to want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes heaven a happy place. Because we'll have free reign, nothing to hinder us to worship Him, you see. What holds us back from worshiping God right now in truth and spirit? What does it? Or in spirit and truth? Our flesh. Our flesh hinders us, doesn't it? Oh, we want to do. We want to worship God more and more. We want to draw nigh unto Him and closer and closer. But this flesh, we have to fight it in order to do that. There'll be no flesh standing in the way there. We'll worship Him. What makes heaven a happy place? Well, our believing relatives will be there. Heaven will be filled with wonderful people, the saints of all the ages. Every one of us will be just like Jesus Christ. You ever thought about that? Can you imagine a world where every single person will be like Jesus in every thought, word, deed, every moment in every place, you see. Read in 1 John chapter 3, if you will. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Did you know right now, if Christ was to just come through those doors, we cannot look upon Him with these human eyes. It would blind us because He's the light, just like Paul did on the road to Damascus. But my friend, when we get that brand new body and put off this flesh, yes, we'll see Him as He is, you see. Well, heaven is a hidden place. It's a happy place. And lastly and thirdly, it's a holy place. A holy place. Only those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ will enter through the gates of heaven. This holy city has towering walls of jasper, gates of pearl, as you read in Revelation chapter 21. The gates of the pearl symbolize the sufferings of Christ that made access to through this city possible. Did you know that? Pearls are made from suffering. And those are large pearls. Gates are made out of those pearls because Christ suffered greatly for us. When Jesus told his disciples that he was going away to prepare a place for them, well, they naturally wanted to know how they could be sure of finding their way to that place. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus reminded them and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, only by him. He said, you put your faith and your trust in me, you follow after me, I'll make sure you get there. I'll make sure you don't get lost. I'll make sure you'll find the way. My friend, I don't know the way to heaven right now physically, but I know spiritually because I've trusted in Christ. And my friend, he will not lose any of us. Well, I do know it's up northward. I do believe that. The Bible indicates that is northward. Well, there's only one way to get to heaven. We must come by Christ. In the old days in the South, a land slave who was a Christian. And when the master died, folks were saying, told him, your master, he's gone to heaven. He heard the folks saying that all around. He says, oh no, said the slave. I don't believe master has gone to heaven. They used to ask him, how he could be so sure of saying that. He said, well, he replied, when master took a long journey somewhere to another city or to another state, he talked about it a long time and he prepared himself for the journey. He says, but I never heard him talk about going to heaven and I never saw him get ready for it. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You see, it's a holy place. And one gets there only by coming to Christ as a lost sinner and accepting him as personal Savior. Every country I know of, if you are to enter it legally and by law, instead of crossing the border like so many of them do, illegally. But if you get there legally and by the law, you have to have a passport. If you want to be a citizen of the United States, you must make application to the United States Department of Immigration for permission to enter the country as a permanent resident. You must go through the examination, answer the questions, be fingerprinted, and pledge your allegiance to the United States of America. It's a crying shame we have citizens of this country that won't even pledge allegiance to this nation. We had a former president for 8 years. He wouldn't even pledge allegiance to the United States of America. He did everything he could in his power to bring it to his knees. But only then, when you do all these things to become a citizen of the United States, only then can you enjoy the privileges and the protection of this country. In other words, you must enter in the United States on the United States terms and have someone to vouch for you. On top of that, heaven is much the same way. You must come by God's terms. The Bible says you must be born again. You need a voucher, an intercessor. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Thank God for that. We have an intercessor. We have an advocate. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, I tell you, that what makes heaven a holy place. There's no illegal immigrants in heaven. I can assure you of that. There's nobody that will slip by and happen to end up there. No, no. Happily, it's the easiest thing in the world to obtain a passport to heaven. by childlike faith. God made it so simple, so easy, salvation. I don't know how people can turn it away. My, my. Jesus is our only passport we need. John chapter 6, verse 37, the Bible says, and he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. Praise be to God. Yes, heaven is a hidden place. Heaven is a happy place. And heaven is a holy place. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. And I'm ready to go. How about you? All right. As we all stand to be dismissed tonight, Brother Turner, will you dismiss us in prayer, sir?